The word organic is worth upwards of $50 billion a year. Some believe the word should be the exclusive property of those who farm in fertile soil. Others believe those who farm without soil should also own the word. And so we ask, should organic food need fertile soil?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. Yes, you are tuned into the 1272nd edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Acordalia who are tuned into the podcast as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, back in the early 1900s, Sir Albert Howard, F.H. King, Rudolf Steiner, and others championed a way of farming that emphasized fertile soils and natural pest controls. In the 1970s, their biological farming systems were the alternative to chemical-intensive systems of industrial agriculture. Advocates for the biological farming began calling their farming system organic, as a way of distinguishing it and selling it to the marketplace. To protect the word organic, proponents of alternative agriculture gave their word to the federal government. In 1990, the word was locked up for safekeeping at the United States Department of Agriculture by virtue of the Organic Foods Production Act and the subsequent National Organic Standards Board. Given the government's protection, the word organic grew into a brand that now sells for $50 billion a year, give or take. The brand is now like all that gold sitting in Fort Knox just waiting to be taken. Who should get the gold? Some believe organic is the exclusive property of those who grow food in fertile soils. In fact, the 1990 legislation that protects the word recommends that organic farmers foster and build fertile soil. But others believe they should have access as well, even though they grow food hydroponically, which is to say they grow food without any soil at all. The USDA gave them the key to their vault by ruling that its biological soil requirement only applies to those who grow food in soil. Those who grow food without soil are free to take the gold. USDA's gift to hydroponic farmers found its way to the U.S. District Court of Richard Seaborg, who ruled that the USDA did indeed have the right to grant foods grown without soil the organic label. USDA's ruling leads us to ask, does organic food need fertile soil? Well, in part one of this discussion, we talked with Lee Frankel, who was the executive director of the Coalition of Sustainable Organics, which represents the hydroponic farmers. Today, we get to go to court with the warrior princess who actually fought the battle in Richard Seaborg's court, Sylvia Wu, who is an attorney for the Center for Food Safety. Sylvia, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you aboard. And you were the attorney who fought the fight in court, so we look forward to hearing how all of that went. Let's see. First of all, the Center for Food Safety. You might tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. The Center for Food Safety is a national nonprofit with our mission is to address the harms of industrial agriculture and to promote sustainable forms of food production. And as part of that system, we have been long-term proponents and defenders of the organic label and what it means to grow food organically, especially in recent years when we've really seen an attempt by what we call big organic, you know, a lot of your corporate organic companies trying to dilute what those standards mean.
Sure. And if they keep diluting it, it won't mean anything. And then what will happen to that $50 billion a year word? If it doesn't mean anything, it might just lose all that money and that value, right?
Exactly. I think consumers associate the organic label to mean, you know, certain things. Consumers have, you know, consistently chosen organic to mean free of chemicals. They've chosen organic food to represent a certain set of environmental values or how food are grown. I think people think of the word organic and they conjure up a certain image of, you know, farms, traditional farms, and growing food without chemicals and working the soil. And if that is no longer true, then consumers are not going to be willing to pay the price premium for that label.
You know, I stopped by the store to pick up some strawberries at the request of my wife, and I, you know, looked through the labels, and there was one from Mexico and there was one from the United States, and I somehow decided that the one from the United States was organic, and when I got it home, it didn't say the organic, and boy, I thought it was going to get a divorce because my wife will not eat strawberries that are not organic. And so that word does have a lot of magic for a lot of people, $50 billion a year worth. So you represented some small farmers, did you not? The Center for Food Safety represented farmers who were suing USDA, correct?
Yeah, in this particular litigation, to backtrack, the Center for Food Safety have always worked closely with different family farms as well as across the organic community with different organic stakeholders. So similarly here in this lawsuit challenging USDA's decision to allow hydroponic operations to be certified organic and sell their products under the organic label, once again, we, you know, brought the lawsuit on behalf of a broad range of organic stakeholders. Our plaintiffs actually included many of the nation's oldest certified organic farms, as well as organic certifiers, organic, you know, trade farmers associations, and public interest groups, including ourselves, the Center for Food Safety.
Well, good. Your opponents in this contest at USDA were represented by the Coalition for Sustainable Organics. And they also represent a segment of the organic industry, but not the segment that you represent. And it's interesting, the coalition does not have a website, so you really don't know, you can't look at their website and see who they represent. And furthermore, I don't know who they represent. They don't list any of the names for who they represent. So who do you think they represent?
Yeah, so the lawsuit was directed at USDA, and the coalition trade group did write Friends of the Amicus, Friends of the Court brief to represent their interests. And you're right, it's not clear who they represent. They have a very nice sounding name, and it's not clear who are the, you know, the hydroponic producers that are part of this coalition. And it's even hard, taking a step back outside of the coalition, just in general for consumers right now, to figure out if their organic foods are being produced from ground-based operations or hydroponic operations, and that's part of the problem. I think that a lot of the organic producers that are seeking organic certification are what we call, what we refer to as big organic. So folks that are growing large amounts of lettuces and herbs and specialty crops to be sold with the organic label in large distribution centers, large supermarkets. And those are the guys that form this group.
Mm-hmm. And with respect to what they grow, almost anything that is grown hydroponically and perhaps even organically is going to be a specialty crop of one kind or another, correct?
Well, there are also, you know, organic commodity crops out there, corn growers, soybean growers, for example. But yes, I think that at least with regards to the competition space for hydroponic producers, Right now, as we know, and as USDA's own data shows, most of the hydroponic producers are growing lettuces and herbs, strawberries maybe, but yeah, so they're definitely in the industry known as specialty crop space.
And because, why would you go through all the trouble of using all of that really fancy equipment and hardware and whatnot to grow something that you could grow out in the soil, where there's so much soil in America? So why do they want to grow hydroponically?
Well, I think, I think that there are advantages to hydroponic operations, just, as there's the right place and right time and right thing for everything. And I think, even the farmers we represent, in fact, it's important to the organic farmers and organic groups that we represent, that we acknowledge that this isn't an attack on hydroponic operations. There are a wide variety of hydroponic operations. For example, I live in the Bay Area in California, and hydroponic operations are seen as a great way to, grow food in urban centers and to sort of provide food source to solve food desert issues. They can be, in rooftop gardens. They can take over abandoned office buildings. They're in-house operations. And there are a lot of situations where they're appropriate. The question is, can they call themselves organic under the organic label? And I think that's a separate question. And the answer there, as you alluded to in your intro, is organic farming. The name organic and organic farming speaks to this organic matter in the soil. It's a farming principle and farming system built around soil fertility. The nation's organic law reflects that by making it mandatory for all crop producers to foster soil fertility. That's clear in the language. That's not even disputed by USDA. And yet somehow USDA has now argued that only applies if you're a crop producer who uses soil, and there can be an exemption for this whole other category and still sell their product and call themselves organic.
In thinking about how they come up with that decision, it must have been a couple of people having a beer after work and thinking, how are we going to get around this rule that says organic farmers have to foster organic soil? There's a rule. It's written right there. How are we going to get around that? And maybe after like the third beer, they said, well, why don't we just get rid of soil entirely? And if you don't have soil, then you can't build fertile soil. So that'll solve the problem. Or at least that's how they reasoned it. And they sold that to the USDA. And so we end up in court. But I'm wondering how the Coalition for Sustainable Organics won the battle before they even went to court or had to fight it out in court, in public. Because you had to fight USDA, and the Coalition was nowhere to be seen. So we're going to take a quick break. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What? And right now, the world is eating about $50 billion a year worth of organic food. What's in that name? Well, a great battle is shaping up. And we have Sylvia Wu, who's going to tell us how it went. Do stay tuned.
Now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
So in 1990, the federal government passed the Organic Food Standards. What is the name of that?
Organic Food Production Act.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And part of that ruling, that legislation, made it mandatory for organic farmers to build organic soil, build the biology of their soil so that the food that comes from that soil will come from soil that is rich in the biology and the resulting nutrients that would pretty much guarantee you're going to get some really good food. But then the industry saw a great opportunity in hydroponic agriculture. And if you think about it, there are a lot of opportunities for that form of agriculture. We're here in the strawberry world, and you know, there's a lot of problems with strawberry production that could be solved with organic production systems. Soil, for example, strawberries traditionally had to be rotated out of soil within a year or two because the soil-borne pathogens would destroy the crops if you didn't. So instead of rotating, the strawberry farmers used soil. They inoculated the soil with a toxic gas that killed everything. And so then there's water and the need for water and labor. With a hydroponic system, you could build strawberry beds in a rotating mechanized shelving that people wouldn't even have to bend over. If you think about the possibilities there, they're quite amazing. So you can see why some would want this organic labeling for organic food. And yet the rule said they can't. How did the Coalition for Sustainable Organics win that battle before you even went to court, Sylvia?
Yeah, so I think back even when, so the Organic Foods Production Act went in place in 1990, and as part of that act, it's actually a very unique statute in that it was a very grassroots, community-driven effort in drafting the law, and the law specifically recognized that as a production system certification program, which is what the act created, it created the organic label, that USDA would continue to receive input from the organic community. So within the act, it created a board called the Organic Standards Board, composed of a broad sector of the organic community that whose task is with making recommendations to the USDA and advising the USDA on what the organic label should mean. Mm-hmm. And repeatedly, through that board voiced their opinion that to be certified organic, an organic crop producer must build soil. And so in that way, hydroponic operations, as they view it, as it currently is, cannot meet that demand since they do not work with soil and do not actively build healthy soil. But instead, behind the scenes, as politics tend to go, instead of just taking that recommendation and saying, you're right, hydroponic operations cannot be certified organic, USDA just sat on the recommendation of the National Organic Standards Board and instead repeatedly said hydroponic operations can be certified so long as they meet all the requirements of the organic law. But when you ask the USDA, well, how do they meet that requirement? If one of the requirements is building soil, then, you know, there was no answer. And as a result of that, the Center for Food Safety drafted a petition that we submitted in January 2019 to put this question squarely before the court, because the organic community had voiced their opinion. They were ignored. And so we filed a petition specifically asking USDA to prohibit organic certification or hydroponic operations because they do not foster soil and because
As a result of USDA's refusal to do so and delay in doing so, USDA's inaction has resulted in inconsistent organic standards where hydroponic producers were already selling their crops under the organic label without, you know, having to work the soil as ground-based organic farmers were having to do.
So it was a political decision made by political people who were obviously being influenced by money.
I think that is unfortunately the name of the game in agriculture, and it's not unique. I think it's one of the biggest threats to organic standard is the threat of big corporations seeing the price premium they can get for the organic product, but then also wanting to have their massive scale and not truly understanding the principles of organic. In the same way, the same fight happens in non-organic agriculture, in industrial agriculture, and in animal welfare and in different spaces. It's the same threat faced by, you know, large corporation wanting to take advantage of these green labels, but not necessarily wanting to do the work.
Mm-hmm. So they send their friends to Washington, D.C. with a suitcase of money and credit cards and take some people out to nice lunches and to the ball games and things like that. And they say, you know, we should be able to participate in this business, in this organic industry too. I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be. We're nice people as well. And you know, we can, you know, donate some money to your grandmother's quinceañera or something like that. So they can find ways of getting the money across that blood-brain barrier there, right, to where it counts. And so the decision is made contrary to where the law is written. But it's so obviously contrary to the way the law is written. Somebody must have felt guilty at least.
Yeah, well, I think, to be fair, what we see from USDA is inaction. What we saw from USDA was inaction and delay. So, you know, I can't speak to sort of what happens behind doors, certainly, other than acknowledge that, you know, like all politics, big corporations have power and big corporations.
Those who have the economies of scale sufficient to influence government most often win.
Right. But, you know, I think in this case, USDA really sat on the issue, and that was part of the problem. USDA knew that hydroponic operations were being certified organic, but they weren't taking actions to clarify their view, other than to say they hydroponic operations can be certified organic so long as they meet all the requirements, without clarifying exactly how they can meet the requirement of building soil fertility. So the petition put the question squarely before USDA, and in fact, it was in USDA's response to the petition. So we, Center for Food Safety, filed a petition back in January 2019, and in June of 2019, USDA responded and refused to prohibit organic certification of hydroponic operations. And it was in that response that for the first time, USDA clarified that in their view, that the soil fertility requirements simply didn't apply to hydroponic or soilless operations. Up until then, they've just said, you can be certified as long as you meet all the requirements, which of course is true. If you can meet all the requirements, then you can be certified organic. The question was always, but how? How does a soilless hydroponic operator meet the mandatory requirement that a crop producer build soil, build healthy soil? So it was in the 2019 petition denial, which is what the lawsuit was based on. We challenged USDA's petition denial itself, and it was in that petition denial that USDA stated for the first time that they basically were going to exempt hydroponic operators from the soil fertility requirement.
So essentially, it was the camel's nose in the tent strategy. We'll just let this go on for a little while, and we'll kind of hide our eyes while the hydroponic people put the label on their food And then after a while, you know, it'll be too big to stop. The camel will be in the tent. And it is.
Right. It is. And it is. Organic hydroponic operations and hydroponic produce and crops are currently being sold under the organic label. They can be sold under the organic label. They were before. And now USDA has clarified that, you know, they don't have to meet the soil fertility requirement as a result of the petition denial.
And there you go. Now, what about the certifiers who were so much a big part of the organic industry? Because without somebody to certify organic that something is organic, then how do you know? So what role did the certification agencies play in this hydroponic move on the industry?
Yeah, so, you know, there were if you look at all the back and forth of, you know, the USDA regularly holds meetings with the National Organic Standards Board and take sort of opinions and public comment from the public and from the organic community. If you look at the back and forth in that numerous years where USDA sort of sat on the question and didn't provide any answer or clarification, there were a lot of certifiers that voiced their concern. They didn't understand how USDA was saying hydroponic operations can be certified organic as long as they meet all the requirements. And, you know, they were concerned, well, how exactly do we certify the aspect of organic producer, organic, the requirement that organic producers build healthy soil? So as a result, you had this divide where some certifiers were certifying hydroponic operations as organic. They were sort of finding ways to check off the soil fertility requirement by saying, you know, through different means, like looking at what kind of organic input were used, even though it was not soil, what, you know, different ways to check that off for hydroponic operations. While there are certifiers who were saying, no, if you look at the language of the law, it said crop producers must build soil fertility and through ways of working directly with the soil. The law said you can achieve this by cover cropping, by planting, you know, by crop rotations and taking measures and building a system plan that will build the soil of your farm overall over time. So you have this divide, and that's part of the problem that USDA created. You had inconsistent organic standards, and you had no clarity on how exactly those who were certifying hydroponic operations, how they were checking off that checklist of which one requirement was soil fertility.
So there's an expression I've heard, judge shopping. Do you think there was any certifier shopping going on in the business?
I mean, I think there were certifiers turning away hydroponic operators because they didn't know what to do. So I think to that extent, yes, because there were folks saying, look, I don't know how to certify your operation. I don't know how you could meet the soil fertility requirement. I have asked the USDA to clarify. USDA hasn't done so. So I think that was happening for a while for sure.
And then those who weren't reluctant to certify hydroponics, I'm sure, found lots of business from hydroponic growers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think the organic community is filled with well-intentioned people. And so, you know, I can't speak to the intent or, you know, the motivation of different certifiers. But I think it's acknowledged that there was confusion. And I think even amongst the certifier community, those who certified would love clarity to make sure they were doing it right. But USDA was holding out on them and not providing any explanation or detailed guideline and just sort of saying, you can certify them as long as you can decide that they meet all the requirements, and putting all the burden on certifiers when USDA has the duty under the law to make sure that the organic label created a consistent set of production standards that applied across the board.
Mm-hmm. So what role did the National Organic Standards Board have in this conflict? It would seem like they must have had some role because they're the ones who set the standards.
So the National Organic Standard Board advises the USDA on the standards
And the organic, and it repeatedly told USDA that in their view, hydroponic operations do not belong in under the organic label because of their inability to build soil. So, you know, back in as early as, you know, well, I guess in 1995, when the National Organic Standards Board were making recommendations on the various production standards, it told the USDA that, you know, hydroponic operations to be certified under the organic label has to meet all the requirements of the law. And when you look at the detailed transcript behind that recommendation, the opinion of the board was there's no way they can meet that requirement, but they told the USDA at a minimum, all requirements applied, no exemption. Then in 2010, you know, fast forward to 2010, when you start having this booming big organic hydroponic industry, the Organic Standards Board made a formal recommendation to USDA to that asked USDA to prohibit organic certification of hydroponic operations. Now, like I said, USDA sat on that. They didn't take action, even though the recommendation was very clear, prohibit them from organic certification because they do not foster soil. Instead, USDA went on and created a task force to study how hydroponic operations fit under the Organic Act. And curiously, you know, even their own, this is USDA's task force that they put together, even their own task force didn't agree that all hydroponic operations can simply be exempt from the soil fertility requirement. They deferred on what, how and whether or not some types of hydroponic operations might deliver the same benefits.
And they delayed mm-hmm. and they delayed.
Exactly.
We're going to mm-hmm. take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to court with Sylvia Wu and the Center for Food Safety. Right back.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable. It's a must-read.
USDA Director Bud Kerr.
Big book. MetroFarm describes the agronomic, economic, and managerial concepts required to generate substantial profits from agricultural locales near metropolitan areas.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
History buffs. This tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place while the USS Dale steamed through the Bering Sea, January 1943.
We took some terrible waves up there. One time a big groundswell rolled us over so far I thought we'd never make it back. I was on the lee deck when the ship went over into that roll. Luckily, I was able to grab onto a bulkhead handrail, and when the Dale went over, my feet left the deck. I hung there with nothing between my feet and the ocean but air. I was scared. She went over on her beam, paused for a minute, then she shuddered and shook because one of her propellers was out of the water and thrashing air. Slowly, very slowly, she rolled back toward the vertical, and my feet found the deck again. That wave scared the devil out of me.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com. Talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
It is a $50 billion a year word, organic. And the reason it's worth so much money is because we believe it. We believe that organic food is better than food that is grown in conventional industrial methods using chemical pesticides and synthetic nutrients. We believe it. And we believe it because the organic industry has been fighting to have us believe it for many years. And they have rules that they have to follow. And one of those rules is that they have to have a good biologically intense soil. So all the biology is going to provide you all of the essential nutrients we need to be healthy. So we believe it. And we're spending $50 billion a year on it. And yet, you don't have to have soil anymore. So, I think the word is in danger of losing some of its value by virtue of the fact that we're going to stop believing that it's all that much better. Is there a danger in that, Sylvia?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a danger in that for sure. I think the hydroponic litigation highlights that, right? There is, now we have USDA making an exemption of what is, everyone agrees to be the fundamental reason for organic farming, for the fundamental meaning behind the word organic. Now, building soil fertility only applies if you use the soil. It dilutes and takes away the very meaning of the word organic in the organic label, and more dangerous, and if not more dangerous, but equally dangerously, the organic label no longer represents a consistent set of production standards. That's what the label meant. It's a certification program. It guarantees a set of environmental and health benefits that comes with production requirements. And now that's being tinkered, and it's shown, it's now that, you know, by the USDA.
Yeah, and they put it on paper in black and white. It's it. We don't need soil anymore, so forget about it. Now, you folks at the Center for Food Safety looked at this situation, and you're talking with some of your constituent farmers. When did you decide to fight? When did you decide to go to court?
Well, I think we were participating in the conversations before the NOSB for years leading up to the litigation, and supporting the view of the organic community that soil fertility is a fundamental component of the organic label. When we filed the petition is sort of our last attempt, if you will, to put the question squarely before USDA. And when USDA denied the petition, then and in that denial stated for the first time that they're exempting the soil fertility requirement, which the legal, when you look at the plain language of the law, is mandatory. It says that crop producers shall foster soil fertility. You know, I think we as attorneys, as organic advocates, felt that we had to go to court and get clarity on this issue.
So essentially, the USDA said, heck with the rules and the law. We don't care about the law. We're going to do it this way. And the Center for Food Safety and Sylvia Wu said, no, we're going to fight this out in court and find out what's what here. So how do you go about defending organic soil in the federal court?
Right. So I think what we did, we argued our lawsuit, which was based on challenge USDA's petition denial as in violation of the Organic Foods Production Act, so the Organic Action Law, as well as the Administrative Procedure Act, which is just the means, it's just a legal vehicle for challenging regulatory decisions by governmental agencies. And we argue to the court that, you know, I think we have two principal arguments. First, that the language of the organic law and USDA's own regulations are quite clear. It imposes a mandatory duty for all crop producers to promote soil fertility, and specifically by working with the soil through cover crops, tillage, crop rotations, and so forth. And therefore, we argued that USDA did not have the legal right to exempt hydroponic operations from the soil fertility requirement because hydroponic producers, as crop producers, are subject to them. And the second argument we raised is that USDA also, as the Congress tasked USDA with carrying out the organic program and defending the organic and defining the organic label. And the very purpose of the organic label is to ensure that there is a set of consistent organic standards. By exempting hydroponic operations from the soil fertility requirement, yet requiring all ground-based farmers who grow the same crop. So now all of a sudden, if you're a soil-based, ground-based farmer growing lettuce, you have to have an organic plan that you show your certifier that shows that you are rotating your crops, that shows that you're using cover crops, that shows that you are taking measures to build biodiversity on your farm through, you know, things like building beneficiary corridors for beneficiary wildlife. And yet, if you are a hydroponic producer, you get to just grow the same crops in a giant warehouse that you rent somewhere without any of those requirements. That has resulted in an unfair playing field and very inconsistent standards of organic production. I argue that both of those violations were legal violations that USDA have made.
And on the surface, I mean, they obviously were. But somehow, Judge Seaborg must have seen them as not being obvious. Now, before we go on, there was nobody from the Coalition for Sustainable Organic Hydroponics there to fight, other than the amicus brief. But they weren't in the court. They were not there. So, who did you fight against in the court? Who was on the other side of the aisle?
So the lawsuit, because the lawsuit challenged USDA's petition denial, the defendants were, was USDA itself. The hydroponic producers weren't, I think, so they were in court in that they were allowed to join as what's known as friends of the court, meaning they were allowed to share their opinion and their concerns as industry. They did submit briefing to the court. Typically, friends of the court aren't allowed argument time. So in the actual hearing, they didn't show up that day. But it's not as if their voice were left out. They submitted a briefing that the court accepted.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay, Judge Richard Seaborg, what did he say?
So I think in many ways, and I think this has been the big confusion, the question is not whether or not, I think in many ways the judge looked to did the Organic Foods Protection Act prohibit hydroponic operations for an organic certification? And the answer is no. It didn't talk about hydroponic operations at all. It didn't talk about soilless operations. The question is, what does it mean to be a certified organic crop producer? What does it mean to grow lettuce under the Organic Act? And there, the answer is clear. The answer is, if you're growing lettuce, the Organic Act requires that you foster soil fertility. But because I think in many ways the court looked to the question of what did Congress intend to prohibit hydroponic operation, the court led to the answer that no, it didn't, because the law plainly doesn't do that. It doesn't talk about hydroponic at all.
Because there were no hydroponic farms at the time.
Well, I think so. Hydroponic, you know, operations in different forms had existed
all the way back to the hanging gardens of Babylon, right? They've been
exactly
here.
Right. If you look at the pure definition of hydroponic, I don't think anyone's alleging it's some sort of newfangled technology. The broad proliferation and the warehouse productions that we now see, yes, that's fairly new. But I think more importantly, what we do know is more likely that, I think it's reasonable to say the question wasn't before Congress because everyone understood organic farming to be about soil. That's what the word organic meant. It didn't come up. What was clear is that they understood organic farming and organic label to require soil fertility. But the judge held that because it wasn't specifically prohibited and because there is a provision in the organic law in OFPA, the Organic Foods Production Act, that states that if a practice is not specifically prohibited, it should be allowed so long as it's not inconsistent. I think the judge looked at that and said, well, hydroponic operations weren't specifically prohibited. Our opinion is that it's obviously inconsistent with the requirement that crop producers build soil fertility. So I think that's what the judge's ruling sort of came down to, is a lot of focus on, was this specifically prohibited?
Essentially what he seemed to be saying is that, well, you're not using synthetic fertilizers and chemical pesticides, so it's okay. And that you're not using soil doesn't make any difference. So the real crux of it to him, I guess, might have been that there were no pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Is that correct?
I think that issue definitely came up in the briefing from USDA. And from, the hydroponic amicus, it's a distraction. There's three standard requirements of organic production, three fundamental principles that's written into the organic law. And one of them says no synthetic chemicals. Yes. But then another one that talks about how long a soil or farms should not have chemical treatment before they can be qualified for organic certification. But the last one says that all organic producers must comply with the requirements of the applicable organic system plan. And a crop producer must submit an organic system plan that shows that they're building soil. So I think it's easy to say, look, there's no chemicals. We need one out of the three. But there are three requirements. All of them apply equally in our view.
And the big one there is the need to build organic soil, which was negated by the judge's leap to hydroponics. Well, there's no soil there, so why should this part of the rule of the law apply? Well, it seems like that should be a point that could be fought over. I mean, is there room for an appeal here?
So we're looking at that question. So I can't speak more to it right now.
Right.
There is just by default, there we're given obviously an opportunity to appeal. So the judge's ruling came down in late March, and by just under the court rules, we have 60 days to decide whether or not we're going to appeal, and we're still in discussion with our clients and the organic community about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at.
How much would it cost to appeal this to the Supreme Court?
Well, lawsuits are expensive. There's no guarantee appeal to the Supreme Court either. We can appeal. If we appeal now, it'll go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. And after that, if there is an appeal and should the Ninth Circuit rule one way or the other, it's up to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not they will take up the case. Lawsuits are expensive business. The Center for Food Safety has had lawsuits that have gone up to the Supreme Court. In this case, it was our challenge to USDA's approval of genetically modified alfalfa. And yeah, it's a tough job to be nonprofit attorneys fighting big ag, but we love doing it, and we're privileged and honored to defend the rights of farmers and the livelihood of them.
What do you think this Sylvia Wu from the Center for Food Safety? What do you think this ruling means for the organic label?
So I think there are two ways to look at it. In one sense, things we went to court to challenge something USDA was already allowing to happen. We wanted to put clarity and put an end to what we saw was a hydroponic loophole. We were unsuccessful in doing that, and we're thinking about whether or not we're going to appeal. So, you know, I think in some ways the situation hasn't changed, right? We went to court because USDA was already allowing hydroponic operations to be certified organic. We went to court because we wanted USDA to clarify, if you're going to allow these operations to be certified organic, at least explain what it means for them to meet the soil fertility requirement. At least explain how they achieved that. And, you know, USDA has, I think the difference is USDA has now said, you know, we don't need to clarify that. It just doesn't apply. That provision of the law doesn't apply if you're a hydroponic producer. It only applies if you are a you know, ground-based farmer. If you're a traditional organic farm, then I'm sorry, you need to meet all these requirements and demonstrate how you're building healthy soil. So I think it solidifies the unfair playing field that, you know, that have plagued members of the organic community.
What about my wife who loves her organic strawberries? What does that mean? What is this ruling going to mean for her and all of the rest of the people who spend $50 billion a year on organic food? Sylvia Wu, thank you so much for joining us today, and keep up the good fight with the Center for Food Safety. And thank you all out there. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain: cheap food isn't. Thank you, Sylvia.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.